Today on Real Radio.
Without Christ, your heart's unsettled. You need to see your value in Christ. It's very important. What gives in a marriage? You do. Whenever you look. Let me explain, look. Every husband and wife should look at each other with affection. And I think you should get caught looking at your wife or your husband with affection. I really do believe that. I think you should flirt with your husband and wife as often as possible.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a collection of topical studies taken from the numerous scripture passages that instruct us and give us examples of how to live as believers in an unbelieving world. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called Being a Christian in Your Home.
The family order. When we hear the word order, sometimes it sounds almost militant or somehow insistent. But guess what? That's exactly what it is. A family order God wants to establish. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, regarding the family, God says this: Take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourselves, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. A great thing for the home is for our children to hear from us, moms and dads. We need to slow down and start telling our kids or letting our kids hear conversations about what great things God has done in our lives. And I'm asking you right now, can you guys hear me? I'm asking you to do this now. Start doing it now. Make a determination that from now on in our home, our little kids, or maybe you've got teenagers now, they need to start here. You need to sit down and tell them. You know, a lot of your kids don't realize what God has done in your life. You might be here tonight saying, well, I'm all new to Jesus, and I'm all new. Hey, then tell your kids. Hey, our lives are changing, kids. We're following Christ now. Let them in on it. Lisa and I have sheltered our kids from nothing. I mean, from the smallest age, they were sitting around Bible studies with us. They were with us with friends over, everything. They just sat there in, you know, those little rocking plastic chair things. They were just there. They were always there. But even still, with all they've seen, they saw this church start with six people. They saw that stuff happen. But there's still so much they don't remember, they don't realize. And Lisa and I will be talking, and we'll say something. And they'll say, well, I didn't know that happened. When was that? No, this is that. And it's amazing. It builds their faith. God says, talk to your kids. Let them know. Start telling your kids. You can start by tonight. Tell them what's going on in Africa by virtue of the fact of your involvement in Africa tonight. That there are people coming out of cults and coming out of darkness into the light. Tell them about it. It's amazing. That's a great thing regarding the family. The family order is established. It's a beautiful thing. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, But if anyone does not provide for his own, that is his own home, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith, and it's worse than an unbeliever. We're not only to be people, Christians, establishing a family order in our lives. Marriage is the foundation for that. But we are to be, as husbands and wives, we are to be a family that provides for our children. We are to be a family that protects them. It's a very important thing. The family is where, either by propagation or by adoption, a family becomes a temple, as it were, a nucleus for the future. Without a family, you guys, we don't have a community. Without a community, we don't have a state. Without a state, we don't have a nation. And it all begins with a family. Family falls apart, the nation will fall apart. What's the condition of America's family? That's the future. Give it 35, 40 years. What is now? Give it 35 to 40 years. That will be the nation. God help us. It's a scary thought, but it can be changed. If we go home tonight and strengthen our families and Husbands loving their wives and wives loving their husbands. Also this, what does a marriage do? It creates a cultural life. It creates a culture of life. A marriage most often leads to a family, obviously. Not in all cases. But if marriage leads to a family in most cases, and that affects the community in which you and I live. And I know that there's a daunting task that we think before us, like, we'll never make a difference. We'll never affect anybody. What can our little family do? And yet God uses that. He honors that tremendously. There's no greater investment than for you to invest in your family. Point number three tonight is this. Being a Christian in your home. What gives in a marriage? This is kind of fun. What gives in a marriage? I got to go through this fast. What gives in a marriage? First of all, are you ready? Jot it down. You do. Mark it down. What gives in a marriage? Me. You do. Whenever you talk, just like the wind or currents, temperatures, and the weather, those things change. They're invisible, but when they change, it creates weather. And just like how you and I speak, it creates an atmosphere in a home. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt, listen, word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Three words I want you to understand in Ephesians 4:29. Check it out. And we all need to judge our mouths right now. Don't judge someone else's mouth. Don't start pointing at somebody else's lips right now. I'm old enough, maybe some of you are, and my dad was born and raised on a farm in South Dakota, but God in his mercy had my mom be born and raised in Hawaii with a pineapple and a coconut, so everything kind of turned out okay in the end. But man, when in my house growing up, if I said, that's a stupid dog, my dad would go get the bar of soap. You ever had the bar of soap? How many of you have ever had a bar of soap put in your mouth? Hey, you young people, raise your hands again. You young people, look around at these hands. I'm telling you, you want to stop talking bad? Eat a bar of soap. And that'll make you think twice. That's exactly what God's talking about. Don't let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The word in Greek means it's a word that undermines. Corrupt is to undermine. It means to make rotten, worthless, to destroy, or to be destructive. Don't say things that are destructive. And maybe tonight you're here and your home is one that allows that kind of stuff. And oh, you know what? You're a this. Oh, yeah, you're a that. Those are words that are corrupt and it's destructive. It's going to tear up your home. It's going to tear up your family. It causes a great wedge to come in between that marriage. And then he says, but speak what's good. The word good is this in the Greek. It means to benefit, to construct, to add to the building, or to build a cathedral with words. Good for, look at this next word, edification. To build up. That word means architect, architecture that comes forth from the mouth to build up somebody by what you say. Isn't that beautiful? Hey, bring some concrete in here. We need more steel. Get some bricks. And you have a building. Think about your life in your homes. Hey, you know what? That's a great job you did. Hey, you know what? That's pretty cool. I'm proud of you. We need to start practicing this stuff if we're not already doing this. Whenever you and I talk, that's what gives in a marriage. When we speak to our husband and to our wives, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Isn't that a great thing? Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer someone. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are also doing. Speak things. Are you engaged? Are you married? Speak things that are going to lift each other up. Now, I have to be careful about this. Not that I need to temper it. I just want to qualify this, which leads us to this next consideration. What gives in a marriage... Again, you do whenever you listen. And this is important. I want all you ladies especially to tune into this because you need to hear this. Guys have a hard time listening. It's just the way that we're wired. I'm not giving excuses, but we're just different. And it's not that we don't care. It's just really hard. And I'm going to, listen, and what I'm telling you right now, my wife has heard this 1,000 times. She doesn't agree with this, but she's heard this. Ladies, it's hard for us guys. When you're talking on the phone with someone or with your daughters or with your friend and you're saying, oh man, did you see that Ulta's got mascara for sale? Do you understand that as a man, for our own sanity, we have to just go, whoop. We just took, We're there. We may be in the car. We're in the room. We can't hear any longer that conversation. Literally, I'm telling you the truth. Oh, did you see? And they have this incredible fabric, and it's, we're gone. Boom. And then, at some point in time, because we're tuned out, at some point in time, the wife will turn and say, and so what do you think about that? And then, you don't care, do you? I knew it. You're not listening. It's very scary because I don't want to know about what's on sale at Nordstrom's. I don't care. I don't care. And then all of a sudden, I got to be in on it. It's too hard. But here's the thing. How you listen to your husband and your wife, listen, it's so important. And it's so hard for us guys sometimes, but I tell you. It determines the next moment in your marriage, how you listen. So first of all, ladies, cut us some slack. We're trying. And in your family, in your home, there's got to be a way maybe that you can work through that. Maybe wives can say, honey, you can just check out. We're going to be talking about what's on sale. And then you need to send up flares when you want us to come back. Okay. Join us again. Come back. We're going to be talking about things. But we need to practice carefully listening to the words. Good listeners listen without being problem solvers. I'm trying to learn this. Lisa wants me just to listen to her sometimes. Say I'm a guy. She says, you know what? This thing happened and this thing. And oh, you know what? You plug it in and then you turn it on and you bring it and that's it. Okay, well, let's go. She doesn't want the answer. She wants me to listen. Guys, listen. This is serious. Are you listening to me, guys? This is serious. God gave us ears to hear. We are to speak very few words and slowly and wait. Two ears. We got to be listening. Sometimes she just wants you to listen. To just listen. Ask her over here. I'm telling you. But James says in James 1:19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. God gave us two ears and slow to speak. Only got one mouth and slow to wrath. So we're not in much trouble. Be very, very careful. But listening goes both ways. And let me say this. Ladies, wives, when your husband says to you, you look beautiful. I'm speaking for all the guys here today. When we tell you look beautiful, you look great, will you believe us? Will you believe us? Because here's what you wind up doing. No, I don't. Yeah, you do. You got to remember something. We could be thinking about the golf game, the angel game, the duck game, or the whatever thing going on. We chose to say because we were touched in that, and you better take it because it's fleeting. It's there, and it's like, you look great today. It hurts a guy's feeling. It hurts a husband's feeling when we say it, and you go, no, I don't. It's kind of okay at the beginning. I saw some young couples here tonight. They're newly married. It's okay in the beginning when he says, you look beautiful, or she might say, you look so nice, and he turns and says, no, I don't. It's kind of okay at the start, but after a while, will you just believe them? And when we say, you look beautiful tonight, you know, take it. Believe it. We're not getting paid to say it. We really mean it. God's put that in our heart. And sometimes women will say, I can't believe you think I'm attractive. That's the mystery of marriage. God's done that. He has brought us together. And let me say this, Galatians 6:8 says, Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 says, for he who sows to the flesh, listen, will of the flesh reap corruption. All right, why am I bringing it? What does that verse apply? Because if you're looking at celebrity magazines, okay, and your husband says, you look beautiful, you will not believe him. Because you've looked at celebrity magazines or whatever they're called. Oh, you know what? I don't have hair like so-and-so. Who? We don't know you. Who? Well, you know what? I'm not as tall as so-and-so on that show, you know. Who? We don't care. Don't judge yourself in light of this plastic Madison Avenue Hollywood world. It's ridiculous. And if, listen, if they had their act together so much, then why are they so unhappy and constantly changing the way they look? You look at somebody 1 month who's famous, and you look at them 3 months later, and you go, who's that? You can't even recognize these people anymore. They look like they went to Mars and came back with something, you know. Without Christ, your heart's unsettled. You need to see your value in Christ. It's very important. What gives in a marriage? You do. Whenever you look, let me explain, look. Every husband and wife should look at each other with affection. And I think you should get caught looking at your wife or your husband with affection. I really do believe that. I think you should flirt with your husband and wife as often as possible. Ask the front row right now. Didn't you flirt with her or him before you married them? So all of a sudden, you know, I'm married now. Date your husband. Date your wife. A very famous Bible teacher. I'm not going to say how famous he is. He's famous. The wife thought that she was losing him. Ministry demands, everybody's pulling on him. She felt like she was left out. All these girls getting in line to talk to him. She felt like she was losing him. He came home from the office one day, and he walked in the front door, and she was wrapped in cellophane. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And that is such a tremendous thing, because as a married couple, there's the demands of the world, the demands of the ministry or work or whatever it might be, steals away the creativity of things, and that shouldn't be. The home should be, the marriage should be radical. Why is the world radical? For satanic reasons. The Christian marriage should be radical. The world should be knocking on our door saying, hey, what's going on in there? It's amazing. Our God made all this stuff. You think I'm joking? Genesis 26:8. Check this out. Like father, like son. It says, now it came to pass, verse 8, that when he had been down there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through his window and saw there was Isaac, showing endearment, or sporting with, as the old King James says, Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she is not your wife, she is your wife, so how could you say to me, she's your sister? Because you don't do that stuff with your sister. I think that's kind of cute. Abimelech looks out over his kingdom and says, two people kind of flirting around with each other, that's clearly not what brothers and sisters do. And he says, hey, what's the deal? Husbands and wives need to be like that. And we have all these reasons. Well, you don't know my husband. Well, you don't know my wife. All it takes is one to start changing that marriage around in this area. But we need to look at each other with affection in your marriage. If it's not happening, you need to ask the Lord, listen, if you say tonight, well, I don't think I can do that, then are you a Christian tonight? Yes, I'm a Christian. Okay, then listen, we're 95% there. Ask God to give you eyes for your husband. Ask God to give you eyes for your wife and watch what happens. It's vital. The Bible says regarding this, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 9. Listen to this. This is in the Bible. My lover is like a gazelle, like a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the lattice, peering through the lattice. My lover spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come away with me. And all the women said, oh, this is Solomon talking. A man's man. And he's flirting with his honey. It's got to be like that. Song of Solomon 2:14. Oh, he said, my love, or my dove, he says, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. This is in the Bible. God says, this is the way it ought to be. All you husbands here tonight, listen to this. Song of Solomon 4:1. Behold, you are fair, my love, he says. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats coming. Now hang on. Wait, I'm going to explain this. Come on, come on, come on, come on, focus. Your hair is like a flock of goats coming down from Mount Gilead. Let me tell you what that is. We've seen this happen, and if you're with us in Israel next month, you'll probably see it happen too. This is what that means. The goats and the sheep come out of the forest down the steep cliff, the hill. We've watched it happen in Israel. It's insanely beautiful. And they're predominantly, many of them are black. The hill is so steep that when they come down, they go like this in an incredible concert of movement. He's saying, your hair is so wavy and beautiful, like sheep. It looks like sheep coming down Mount Gilead. Come on, man, where's your imagination, people? Gee whiz. We need more courses on this stuff. He goes on to say this, your teeth are like a flock of shorn or shaved sheep which have come up out of the washing. They're white. Every one of them bears twins. She's not missing a tooth. And none is barren among them. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which, all right, you know what?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, sharing some wisdom from Scripture. It's part of a mini-series called Being a Christian in Your Home, part of a series we're presenting here on Real Radio called Life and the Bible. It's actually a series within a series, which means that we'll continue with more of Being a Christian in Your Home on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this is a series our teacher recently delivered, and it's now available for purchase in either CD or DVD format. You can visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Just ask for the series Life and the Bible on either CD or DVD. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous support of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.